Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
Hi, everybody. Gary Tanguay here along with Bob Ryan. It is time for the Ryan and Tanguay Show, brought to you by Prize Picks, exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Okay, Robert, you were right again about the Celtics. Jeff and I were like, come on, man. They should go up 2-0, blah, 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 blah. Here we go again. And taking on Miami without their best player, and they managed to lose game two.
Well, losing the game, see, if they lost a game that was hard fought, well played both ways, they gave it at their all, the best team won on that particular day, et cetera, et cetera. I can live with that a little better. But tell me if I'm, you know, if I should be contradicted. They were 23 for 43 on threes, Miami. Of those 43 attempts, and I'd say of the 23 makes, I would say no more than 10 of those 43 attempts had a Celtic in the same area code as the shooter.
Agreed.
What's that all about?
Well, can I tell you what that is about? And that has been my concern with this team. This team does not have a step on the throat mentality. They rest on their laurels. They like to win easy. That's what
That's part of it.
It's a bad quality to have.
At what point? I know. And all right. So now we're going to have to say, okay, coach, at what point during the game do you say enough of this crap? Get up on them, close out. If it's switch hard. I mean, do something. But there were way too many. It wasn't like they were beating them with great shots. They're beating them with open shots, all time and again, open shots. That's what bothered me. And by the way, I 4 stars to Brian Scalabrine for his broadcast because he was all over them. And he wasn't having any of it about their defense. And good for him because it should have been said, and it was said, that the defense was the truth. And the game wasn't about anything. I get an X after the game about Tatum, who had good numbers, by the way, and had – it wasn't about Tatum. It was about defense. It was about indifferent defense collectively. And that was the number one thing that bothers me. If they think they're going to coast it out and just out, you know, just to fix your point, if they think they can outscore everybody every night, well, guess what? Not that night, they weren't outscoring anybody. They're not the way the Miami was shooting. And they called for a different approach, and the Celtics did not present that approach in that game.
They just don't have the killer instinct, I think. That's what we felt all along, Bob. We have felt that way about this team from Jump Street.
Now, in general terms here, in terms of losing a game at home and all that, I went through the numbers since 1957 when they won their first championship. And in the 17 championships, there have been at least 12 series there. There were some easy ones, but there have been 12 series when they had to win at least one road game, okay, in the course of things. Now, in the beginning, you only had 2 series. Now we're up to 4 series. Okay.
But right.
12 times, including 1976, they won each series by winning game six on the road.
Wow.
Yeah. Each one, by the way, Charlie Scott came up big. Each one of those three games, he came up very big. But I got the numbers, you know, and in the course of history, more often than not, and that's why the first thing I said after the game, when people were going crazy about losing the game, they weren't going to go fo. Let's get that straight. You know, they weren't. They weren't going to go 16-0 any more than they were going to go 82-0 in the season. The nature of the beast is you're going to lose a game. But the point is, you sooner or later you have to win a road game. It comes down that way.
Right.
And so we have a small sample here. If we go through, you know, and they get eliminated, and that means they didn't win a road game probably, and that's ridiculous. So I'm anxious to see what happens in game. They had the approaches, but the fact is that if you're gonna be a champion, you damn well better be able to win some games on the road. It's part of the package, and this is what they have to do, and they're gonna have to do it, and we'll see what they're up to, but.
What was the biggest, in your opinion, was the 74 Game 7 win in Milwaukee the biggest road win in Celtic history?
I think, no, it was, no, the biggest one was the one that preceded that one in 69. That
in
was
LA, in Los Angeles.
Yes, the balloon game.
Balloons ready to drop. And
the balloon game, the combination of Baylor West and Chamberlain, Russell, 36 years old on his last legs, Sam retiring, the two of them, their last game for both Russell and Sam. And that would be number one and winning that game, you know, for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, but certainly winning in Milwaukee and 74 was a very, very, but that was a series in which there were five road victories, including the last four. And you know, there's never been an NBA series like it ever.
Right.
Ever. This is, stands alone with five road victories in a seven game series. That was unique, literally unique. But so my point is that historically, you know, you need to come back and win a road game, but what we saw the other night didn't bolster our confidence in this group.
Yeah. And it's not so much the details of the series, like it's 1-1 and you know, they could have gone up 2-0. It's just the game standing on its own.
Yeah, right.
It's just the way it was played, which brings you to the coach.
I wasn't happy at the end of game one.
I know. I'll go back to game one.
I mean, this. I'll say it again. If you're up 34 in the fourth, it is incomprehensible at that moment that you were going to have any starter on the floor at the end of the game.
Right.
And they were all out there. I mean, most of these three or four.
Well, this is where, you know, you have to question the coach. Now, if the Celtics are eliminated from contention, you know, at any point earlier than the finals, because if they don't get to that, they should get to the finals. And we've all talked about Denver being the favorite. We understand that. And there's no shame in losing against Denver, if indeed that's the case. But if this lack of killer instinct, if this ease, if you will, if this comfortability of this team costs them, you have to look at the coach. Correct?
Yes, you have to. He has to be scrutinized in that regard. It's one of the many hats the coach has to wear, and is preparedness and adjust. Another one is being able to adjust and all. They did not come away looking particularly well coached yet tonight.
Right. I mean, and that's the point. Like, he seems to be great when everything's going well, right? And he doesn't And he doesn't panic if they have a bad loss or if they lose to the Clippers on the road, or if they, you know, they finish the game, the season with a couple of losses where they're uninspired, and he doesn't rock the boat. But does he have the ability to push that button? You know, I just think of, and we are going to talk about Doc Rivers in Milwaukee, but I just think about Doc during the 08 playoffs in Los Angeles. I think it was game four.
Four.
He's on the bench and he's like, we're going to win this. We are going to win this. We are going to win this. You know, or, you know, you look at, does this kid have that? And you know what? He's going to need it. He's going to need it. He's going to have to put on the big boy pants at some point.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen. There has to, you can be a player's coach, or you have to have a player that does it. You know, for example, like Jackson could be a player's coach because he had a guy in Michael Jordan who would, if you weren't playing, Mike will let you know about it.
No, that's for sure. No,
and I don't know if there's, and maybe Jalen Brown's that guy in this team. I don't know who's that.
Don't worry about that. No, no, it's interesting. Now, another thing we haven't, I want to, until we see otherwise, I want to dismiss Porzingis' atrocious game as just an aberration, and that what we've seen of him all year and what we've heard out of him, he'll get it and he'll you know, play better. But he missed some makeable shots. That's number one, no question. But he just wasn't a presence at all. And
right.
They can't. And he's been the essential difference between this year and last year was the components that he brought to the table, both offensively and defensively, made this a substantially better team. And that was I'm going to hope it's a mulligan. We'll give him a mulligan, but we can't have another game like that.
No, we can't. No. Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks. So let's segue now to that Sixers-New York series.
Oh,
Embiid comes back with 50 points.
5-0. And, you know, I mean, he had a 50-point. He dropped 50 in Celtics last year, remember? And I said that was one of the smoothest-looking, easy-looking 50s. He is so amazingly graceful and efficient on offense. He really is. But that third quarter, I'm sitting watching this going, you know, he made four and threes in the third quarter. He had 18 points in the quarter. Of the game three, and I just couldn't believe they kept going in, but that's what he does. He's a difference maker. There's no question. I mean, so it's an interesting series. I don't know how this series is going to come out. The Knicks have had their big moments. The 76ers have had their big moments. I think these are teams that are worthy of respect, both of them. And I'm not looking forward to playing. You know, Celtics should beat either one of them, but assuming they play one of them, you know, that they're going to have to work for it. I mean, I think I like these teams. I can see, I like New York a lot when they're playing well. And you know, because Brunson's in, how can you dislike Brunson? And,
yeah, you got a Rupert guy.
You know, and they don't have hateable players or anything else like that. So I think it's an interesting series. I really do.
Well, I mean, if you could say Philadelphia in game two beat themselves.
Yeah. Oh, well, that end of game two will be discussed for a long time.
Sure. I mean, you have a lead like that. You don't close it out. You beat yourself, and Philly could be up 2-1.
But you know, the thing started with that up and that shot Brunson made that was, you know, the Don Nelson shot, you know, I call it.
Yeah, the Nelly shot, right.
Yeah, and so, but that's a series that I look forward to. When the games are on, I want to see that game. I definitely want to see that. So, I'm going to go out and hey, this has got 7 written all over it with these two.
I hope so.
I think it's got 7 written all over it.
Yeah, so, I'd like to see 7. I mean, that's a series you want to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and you worry about the Celtics because the Celtics have played well and the numbers are good against Philadelphia. If the Celtics meet either one, they should beat the Knicks or they should beat Philadelphia.
Yeah,
they should beat anybody. But, you know, those two, you know, the Knicks have such an attitude. Nothing to lose attitude.
Now, Tibbs came away, by the way, from the game three, very upset about Embiid's 21 free throw attempts.
Right.
And he thought he benefited from ticky-tack calls. And I'm just saying that Tibbs came away with that. We'll see how that rest of the series is refereed. A lot of discussion about the nature of refereeing and what they're not calling or they are and how it doesn't have that old time feel that the defensive, I don't know, there's something different about it right now. The whole season was an up-tempo offensive, you know, thing.
Right.
We talked
So when
about
you say something different, do you think it's more inconsistent?
there might be some general philosophy going on, you know, but there's always complaints about inconsistency. You know, that since from day one in 1946, and they'll be talking about that in 2046, 2056, 2256. But
do you think they're putting away the whistle too much, or?
Well, in the case of last night, that now, I mean, and the other night.
Now, game two, they did.
Tips, yeah.
They didn't want to decide the game, and now Tibbs is saying that they blew the
whistle. And I said they did ticky-tack. I'm not saying he's right, by the way. I'm just saying that's what he's
No, I know. But, I mean, generally, we would never say the officials, I mean, this was always Tommy's big thing, you know, obviously. You know, the officials shouldn't decide the game. And obviously, in the game two, they put the whistle away, which we were surprised to see. That's why, you know, we had teams that were up 2-0, and that never happened. I mean, in the NBA, every series was always 1-1. That's why we thought the Celtics were going to be, you know, beat 2-0, just like some of the other clubs, like Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I think the hardest job in the world is to be an NBA official. And I think for two reasons. Instant replay, and there's three of them. I think it's easier to be an official when there's two of them and no instant replay.
I like two better. And there's distinct difference, though, between three referees in the NBA and three in college, in my mind, in my judgment. And I hate it in college because I think that referees referee by what I often to get referees out there referee by what I call egg timer. Right. I haven't made a call in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. I need to show the director of officials in this league that there's a reason why I'm here. And the NBA doesn't, because they don't work on a season contract the way the NBA referees do, you know, and some work in one league, some work in a couple of leagues, but they're always worried about the next gig. And so they got to justify their presence, what I'm saying, in their mind, some of them. NBA that's not the way the NBA works. So nobody, I don't think referees in the NBA referee by egg timer, but I do think that in college they do.
Yeah, I just never
saw them. And I'll take two good ones over three mediocre ones any day in the week, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I've just never seen the reason for it. I don't understand why you need three people, six sets of eyes to see a basketball game.
No.
You have a guy up top, you have a person up top and a person down below. That's it.
The league went, you know, fine, I thought, for years. And fine, hey, if it employs some guys, that's fine. But it does call for a different approach.
How sad will it be if LeBron gets swept? When you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are the right fit for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team. I mean, listen, time is money, right? And you want to make money running your business. Let LinkedIn Jobs help you find the right people to help you take that business to the next level. It's very time consuming and, quite frankly, not very cost efficient if you're running a business, trying to make it grow, and also hiring your new people. That's why you have to go to LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who are not actively searching for a new job but might be open to a perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So, if you're not looking at LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn knows that small business, you're wearing many hats. It might not have the time or resources to hire. Like I said, time is money. You want to be making it. Let LinkedIn Jobs help you find the people to help you make more. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to help to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature to help you write your job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/scribe. linkedin.com/scribe to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of people out there that'll love it. You know that. I'm always still being becoming aware and just being overwhelmed by the extent of LeBron haters that are out there. That people find easy way. I mean, a lot of ways to conjure up grievances against LeBron. I'm amazed, frankly. But yeah, there'll be a lot of people who'll be very happy if he gets swept. And It's not like he's universally popular. This isn't like Michael. Michael was, you know, pretty much revered and respected and all, you know,
and it's so interesting because Michael, I don't know him personally. I'm going by reputation. Michael was a tougher person to get to know. I don't think he was as gregarious or as outgoing as LeBron.
So, no, he wasn't.
What I mean? So Michael could be tough.
But you know, he just was accepted as this transcendent player, and that was pretty much the end of it. And people, have people actively rooting against him unless you were playing against him that night. You know, right. Now maybe Detroit fans when they had that rivalry, but it wasn't because he was dirty or anything that you could, you know, cite as a negative in his game. You know, no, it was never anything. He just played his butt off. And the one thing I think he did have to learn, and it's when he started winning championships, was he had to share a little more than he wanted to with Ty. He learned to do that, and he trusted and showed that he had trust in his teammates. And I keep saying the 1987-88 Michael was not making those passes he later would make to John Paxson and Steve Kerr to win ball games in the playoffs. He wasn't making the pass then. It's only until he recognized that he should be doing that, and that he started to actually win championships. And that doesn't, you know, and if he needed to get 50, he could still go get the 50.
Is it time? I mean, when LeBron's on a team, they get swept in, you know, right out of the get go here.
Yeah.
Is it time for him to go?
Well, he's coming off. What player would, if you didn't know it was LeBron and somebody cited you what this guy did this year, what the numbers were and some of the things he did, you know, you would be just singing his praises. That's it. You know, because he's 39, 40, however. Yeah.
Right.
You know, but there wasn't a significant fall off, I don't think, at all. He's still at all. No, it's not that. He's still a viable player.
I wonder because, you know, the Cleveland team that he was on, when he was younger, I know there were two versions there. Yeah, I probably wouldn't say the Kyrie one, but was there a big difference between that one and this Laker team?
And matter of fact, what he did to lug those teams so as far as he got them was
amazing,
absolutely remarkable.
Oh, totally.
Anybody that forgets that, that's just ridiculous.
He didn't have any hope till he had Kyrie.
He didn't have his Scottie Pippen. He wasn't Bird with his Mikhail.
Oh, no, he didn't have any of that. But that's like, I wonder now, you know, I mean, look, when you're 23, 24, you can do that. When you're 39 and you still, you know, maybe you just can't pull it off like that. But he still, like you said, still has some numbers. I just think I'm a LeBron fan. I hate to see him go out swept. But
interesting about the one just little subplot about that series. Each of the three victories Denver has, they've trailed by double digits at least once in each game, including as many as 22. Three times in a row.
I know the 22.
And come back. And by the way, they had four guys with 20 points, which you don't see too often. And the other night in the game, four guys with 22. Gordon had 29. Porter Jr. had a very good game with 20. Jokic had another night at the office, 24-15-9. Murray at 22. Their bench only had 12 points in that game.
Right.
They didn't need it. But nobody's ever come back from 3-0. I don't think that the Lakers are the team that's going to do it against Denver.
And no deficit is safe with Denver.
No.
I mean, we know that. They proved that. All right, so Doc Rivers, I wonder about Doc's deal here with Milwaukee because, the freak is out. Antetokounmpo has been out, and now Chris Middleton, he's got injury problems.
How much
sympathy do we have for Glenn Doc Rivers?
Once again, I have a lot because I like him very much and personally and all that. But and I do wish right now I wish he had never taken this job.
Yeah,
because it's only got it. They're not going to go very far. Obviously, they probably don't even win it. And he's. His reputation has already been tarnished by the collapses and with the Clippers, and then he was the Philly coach and they seem to be playing a little better with Nick Nurse and his reputation has taken a hit, frankly, you know, and I feel bad about that. And it's not, it's going to really take a hit if they get, you know, get blown out and this thing. But it's, nobody could, I don't think anybody could get the desired results out of this Milwaukee team. If
well, I mean, that's what I'm saying, because like they changed coaches halfway through the season, and then they made a coaching change. They brought in Adrian Griffin. Then they bring in, Doc. I mean, you got to stop the carousel here at some point, and you got to look at the players.
Strange. And just speaking of Doc, strange little, did you see that survey, that anonymous NBA player survey that they displayed the other day, that where the most percentage of players, the question was, what coach do you not want to play for? And the winner was Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Even though the Knicks all swear by him, you know.
Sure.
But I think people, they're still harking back to the Chicago days. They thought he overworked players, you know.
Right. Kind
of, they think he's too much of a hard ass. They think he practices are too long. That's what they think. And the Knicks are all saying, no.
Right.
And we love playing for this guy.
Well, so, maybe he changed it up a little bit.
But second place was Doc.
Adam, that blows me away.
It wasn't even, but the point, it was 57% to 9. Doc was the second place at 9%. But still, it's still hard. I don't know what that's all about, that he should even be considered. Not, you wouldn't want to play for him, but I have to point that out. Something, there's some, somebody's got something out there against him. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think people, I know it's been a while. It's hard to believe that 2008 wasn't yesterday, but
yeah,
we just saw him do a masterful job here. And if KG stays healthy, he gets more than one ring. Maybe he gets.
Oh, they the chance for three, and certainly two. They had one. They have to blame themselves for 2010, even though Perk got hurt, but they still had a shot.
They had that game won.
12th, 7th game, and but the 09, they actually had a better record than the year before. They were actually a better team,
right?
Incrementally, but you're not a better team without Garnett, and Garnett wasn't available.
No, yeah, and that was it. And then they quit when they traded Perk, and then he went with Shaq, and he couldn't handle it the rest of the way. All right, Robert, pleasure. We got more playoff talk. We'll get together.
We got a long way to go. Lots of good stuff ahead of us. Very good.
All right. Bob Ryan, Gary Tanguy here, brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Okay, Bob, talk to you soon.
Very good.